Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Adam Clayton Powell, for the first time, was defeated. Charles Rangel won in a very close election. Within a few years, Adam Clayton Powell would contract cancer and die.
If we must die, let us not die like hogs, penned in some inglorious spot. What use is an extra year or two to the man who kills the time that God has given him?
Much of the story of Adam Clayton Powell is on display here in this anteroom of the Abyssinia Baptist Church. But there are many parts of the Adam Powell story that you cannot see hanging up on the walls, mainly the ironies in his life. Isn't it ironic that Adam Powell was such a loud voice that few people would listen to? Perhaps if his loud voice had been heeded on the question of police corruption, there may not have been a Knapp Commission. If his loud voice about government corruption had been heeded, there may not have been a Watergate. If his loud voice against hypocrisy on Capitol Hill had been heeded, perhaps Wayne Hayes and Tom Dodd and Earl Butz and Carl Albert and countless others might have not have been caught in such embarrassing situations. Adam Clayton Powell represents still another chapter in a long story of black militant fighters against oppression and injustice here in America. He wasn't perfect. He had his faults, but don't we all? The point is, he was a fighter. If he did play, he worked harder than he played. Most of all, he was a fighter.
As I know here, you're in trouble. Gloria says about 30% are unemployed. That's why I'm working hard to get this surplus food here. Some of you say to me, well, I'm not like you. I'm not a congressman. I haven't got education. I haven't got work. But you're a human being. And you know what you've got? You've got in your hand the power to use your vote and to use even those few cents you get from welfare to spend them only where you want to spend them. A young slave boy stood one day before the greatest ruler of his day. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, Lord, only I've got a stick, that's all. He said, well, let me use what's in your hand. And God used that slave boy with a stick in his hand to divide the Red Seas, march through a wilderness, bring water out of rocks, manna from heaven, and bring his people to freedom land. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? George Washington Carver, who was so frail that he was traded for a broken-down horse as a slave boy. And George Washington Carver, sitting in the science laboratory at Tuskegee, told me, he said, Dr. Powell, he said, I just go out in the field each morning at 5 o'clock, and I let God guide me. And I bring back these little things and work them over my laboratory, and that man did more to revolutionize the agricultural science of peanuts and of cotton and sweet potato than any other human being in the field of agricultural science. What's in your hand? Just let God use you, that's all. What's in your hand? I've got a string in my hand, that's all, and I'm flying a kite. And way up in the heavens, lightning strikes it, and I, Benjamin Franklin, discover for the first time the possibilities of electricity with a string in my hand. What's in your hand? Little hunchback sitting in a Roman jail. I haven't got anything in my hand but an old quill pen, but God says, write what I tell you to write. Paul wrote, I have run my race with patience. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth has laid up for me. What's in your hand, little boy? All I've got is a slingshot. And the enemies of my people are great and big and more numerous than we are. Well, little David, go down to the brook and pick out a few stones and come on back and close your eyes if you want to and pull back that slingshot and let it go. And David killed the biggest enemy, the leader of the giants, against his people, and his people became free, just letting God guide a stone in his hand. And a few years passed, and David is a king. And God says, what's in your hand? He said, I've got a harp in my hand. He said, well, David, play on your harp. And he played, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Man hanging on a cross. I've got two nails in my hand. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdrawest thyself from me, whither shall I go? And that man, with two nails in his hand, split history in half, B.C. and A.D. And what's in your hand tonight, people of Cambridge? You've got God in your hand, and he'll let you win because he's on your side and one with God. Always in the majority, so walk with him and talk with him and work with him and speak together and fight together. And with God's hand in your hand, the victory will be accomplished here sooner than you dreamed, sooner than you hoped, sooner than you prayed for, sooner than you imagined. Good night and God bless you.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, This man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out. He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Just to ease my mind.
Yes, I bought fishing, hook, sinker, and line. Woo! I said fish, 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 fish. Yes, Lord, I'm going fishing just to ease my mind. Now, see there? Look at this big old string of fish. Old Charlie then tried to tell me I wouldn't catch nothing. Look at that catfish on the end. Salt and pepper, a couple loaves of bread, and we'll just have a time here tonight. Yes, sir. Get that old boy next door to come over and play fiddle for us. Send old Charlie Daniels out for a couple of bottles of corn liquor there, will you? Oh, there he comes back with us. Hand me a tall glass, darling, and about two more of those fish sandwiches.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Quarter Acre Tailgate and Fish Fry. We're in the process of organizing to purchase 20 acres of land for a solar village here in Florida. So we figure, you know, get people to wrap their heads around it. We look at, well, what is a quarter acre? 4 quarters equals 4 quarter acres equals 1 acre. So in order to do that, we're going to have a quarter acre tailgate and fish fry. The first one, tailgate event. So the first one on November 4th is pretty soon, November 4th, 2023. So it's a boots on the ground event, so you actually can see, feel, walk, talk what a quarter acre of land looks like, what you can do with it. In addition, you'll see the whole 20 acres, but I'm just saying we're going to, you know, we want you to get a feel of what you can individually do with a quarter acre land, because that's quite a bit of land, just a quarter acre land. So on that date, bring your lawn chair, because we're tailgating. Bring your lawn chair, bring your own snacks, and then I'm sure people will bring some snacks that they can spare and share. Then we'll be doing New Year's Eve planning. We might have a New Year's Eve tailgate. 2024 tailgate event planning. So we'll be doing tailgates, not just on the 4th of November, but we'll have tailgate events throughout the year. And there's a pond on this 20 acres. So we're going to gather around their pond. So if you'd like to go fishing, okay, well, it's stocked with catfish. And so if you like catfish, bring your rod and reel and your salt and pepper or tartar sauce, whatever you like to eat your fish with, because you can catch it live, skin it. I don't know nothing about that, but other people do. Skin it, clean it, skin it, whatever you do, and then fry them on up, and if you want a fish fry, bring your fish frying equipment for that day. And we'll be doing some other activities as well.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home, with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine.
Boy, it sure is a nice day today.
I'm going to try to refresh it, and because the audios were either skipping or scratching, or skipping and scratching, or the pitch, which is the speed, is going faster than normal. So I'm going to refresh my board and see if that will help any. But once again, on November the 4th, okay, we will have a tailgate gathering. So if you're interested in seeing what a quarter acre land looks like, if you've ever been interested in buying land or making use of a land, if you're a vendor, you're looking for a homestead, place to put a tiny home, we're going to be having on the first many tailgates on November 4th. So although we'll do a 20-acre tour, but we're going to focus in on, all right, what specifically, what does a quarter acre of land look like? And not only that, what you can do with it, all right, particularly when it comes to entrepreneurial ventures, or even a place to stay. All right, so quarter acre land is it's a good piece of real estate or land, because land and real estate are two different things. We'll get into that later. So that's on November the 4th, and so we will be there where we'll be meeting, eating, greeting, and there's a pond there. So if you want to fish, you can fish, catch your fish there, clean the fish there, fry it on up, because we'll have a fish fry that day. So bring your lawn chairs and whatever you want to bring along to eat. Particularly if you want to go fishing, we got a pond there. Bring your rod and reel and go fishing.
Boy, a nice day today. I believe I'll go back out in the garden and dig me up some worms and go fishing. I got me a nice little spot picked up down there on the creek. Boy, them perch is biting like crazy. Yes, sir. I'm going to fish, fish. Anchor and line. I said fish, 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 fish. Boy, I'm going fishing just to ease my mind. You know, some folks say that fishing on a Sunday's a sin. I don't believe in that though. If a fish bite my line on a Sunday morning, really moaning, I believe I'll take him on home and fry him up good and have a ball. 'Cause I don't see nothing wrong with fishing on Sunday at all.
Folks, in this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, all right. That played through all right at the end of it. So anyway, on November the 4th, which is coming up real soon, we have a quarter acre tailgate and fish fry. And because we want people to, and in our scrolling marquee here on Blog Talk Radio, we've got a couple of pictures of what a quarter acre is, a visual on it. You can get an optic on it. What it is, like I'm on a slightly more than a quarter acre where I'm at right now, and I'm in a, 1,700 square foot house. There's a tool shed big enough to be a tiny house. About 15 or so fruit trees in the backyard, then enough space to build two tiny houses. Actually, you can probably put about four back there, but I'm going to just put one or two. But there's enough space. So, you know, then the front yard is just complete. And I got a driveway that can, up until they had, like last year, they had a hurricane pass through here. So that destroyed the carport, and I got to build a new carport. But it's already paved, so. But that's on quarter acre land. All right. So now it's only limited to your imagination on what you can do with a quarter acre of land. So on November the 4th, we're going to have a tailgate get together, and that'll be part of the 20-acre tour. All right, so you can see. Matter of fact, you can partner up with some people. I guess in the urban environment, you can probably put. With infrastructure, at least three houses, regular size houses, right where I'm at. Anyway, so that's on November the 4th. And then we'll be, like, say, bring your rod and reel. If you want to fish, we got a pond there where you can do some fishing. What kind of fish you going to catch? Well, it's stocked with catfish already. So for catfish lovers, bring your rod and reel. You can go fishing there, catch the fish fresh, skin it on location, clean it on, clean it on location, fry it up, just have your fish fry up there. For those of you who don't want to eat catfish or whatever, that's okay. Bring your own snacks or whatever you want to have. And like I said, we're tailgating that day, and we'll do some building. And not no heavy building, because we got to disassemble it after we put it up. But it's an educational day that day. So let's see. So when you're riding the road, you want fish. We have a fish fries, like the, you know, fish fries. We'll be doing New Year's 2024 event, tailgate event planning. You know, there are events throughout the year where people can tailgate. So Super Bowl or big bowl games for college, playoff games, maybe basketball, you know, March Madness, before you know it, will be March before your college basketball. So we're going to plan that day, well-known tailgating or events where people do tailgate. All right, so we'll be planning 2024 tailgate events on November the 4th. And in each one of those events, we're going to be doing some break bread and build. That's all included within this. And then for those who want to fish or have a fish fry, we'll have a fish fry probably at all of those events. And along with, you know, educational events all wrapped up within, you know, the tailgating business plan. So once again on November the 4th. We're going to take you by two properties. One is Earth Wealth Forest. That's 4 acres. But then we're going to have the Fish Fry and Tailgate event at a location about 20 minutes away from Earth Wealth Forest in the northern part of Florida, 90 minutes away from Jacksonville. Just 90 minutes away from Jacksonville. So if you're a vendor, if you sell anything, if you participated in farmers markets, would like to, if you're looking for an affordable place to stay, all this will be wrapped up in that tailgate. Although we'll have a 20-acre tour, we want people to get a good feel of what is 20 acres. Now, we've got some in our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk, and you can go online and look up what does a quarter-acre land look like. But nothing beats boots on the ground. So, like within the spot where we'll be doing the fish fry, that'll all be within a quarter acre. So you'll see how much space is there within a quarter acre. That includes a pond stocked with fish. So now it's by reservation only. Today we're not going to. Well, we're anybody interested in that? Let me open up the lines here. Let's see. Robin, are you out there? And she's somewhere. Let me see if she's on the other end. Okay. Well, Robin, are you there? We hear some scratching.
Hello, can you hear me?
Okay. Hello, Robin and Andy?
Yep, that's Delmar.
Oh, is that Delmar?
Yeah, I haven't heard Robin. I just dialed straight through. She hooked me up.
Okay, Delmar. Okay, good, Delmar. Oh. Any thoughts?
Amen. Sign up. Sounds great.
Okay. All right. And to give Delmar credit, Delmar came up with the idea of the fish fry. Tell me the fish fry, I believe. So, so thank you, Delmar, for that. And thank you, Willie, for the date of November the 4th. So that'll be the first one. So thank you, Willie, for November the 4th. And thank you, Delmar, for the idea of tailgating and fish frying. Because we got a pond there. It's stocked with fish already. Yes. Yes, Delmar.
Hello. All this comes to when like man
Delmar,
come together.
I can hear you.
That's how they call it. Brainstorming, but no one mind gets the credit. It happened because we were discussing it, and the spirit got in there and started circulating, and some came out and some was stuck on to. So that's what happened. We put our heads, they say, our mind together and start, as they say, thinking on the same thought of trying to get the best answer. It comes out of somebody. Thank you.
Right, and the thing is, it all came out organically, because, like I said, Willie came up with the date of November the 4th, and just off the top of my head, it was, we weren't even thinking about tailgating or fish frying or, matter of fact,
the land
I didn't even know about it.
Right.
Yeah, the date for November 4th was supposed to be at another location. Okay, so And at that time that he came up with the date of November 4th, not only did we have another location that wasn't even definite, we weren't even thinking about 20 acres of land, particularly 20 acres with a pond on it. So, matter of fact, 24 hours. I wasn't thinking about tailgating. I wasn't thinking about ponds. Thank you once again, Delmar and Willard. And it all came about organically. So the 24th, that'll give us, well, we had one tailgate. You know, we can plan for 2024 because you got, off the top of my head, you got people at Super Bowl parties where they tailgate. Then you have one of the minor, I don't know if you call it a holiday, Valentine's Day. That's just a night or whatever or day. Then you, but we can't plan an event around that, though. Then there's, oh, let's go through the years. All right, the months. I don't know what, the Super Bowl is in what month? January or February?
February.
I don't
February
keep up with
now.
It like I used
February.
To. All right, February. So the Super Bowl is in February. Okay, February. Then you got March Madness for college basketball, March, April. And a lot of people tailgate on to that, you know, for people who are into that type of thing, that sport. Then you got on Memorial Day weekend. That's the big one, Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people do reunions, and that's Memorial Day stuff. And so there's something practically year-round where people can get together and tailgate. So on the 11th, excuse me, on the 4th of November, we can get a jump on the new year by planning tailgating events, particularly people who are interested in, and not only tailgating, you know, people, vendors or, you know, the tiny house thing, and because we can build something like each and every one of these tailgates, and we can live stream those events for e-commerce as well. So, and I'm, you know what, and I'm sure other events will pop up. I mean, well, other monetized things we can do will pop up as well. So bring your own snacks. Bring your own, if you're going to fish or anything, bring your own rod and reel. Bring a lawn chair. Okay, bring your own lawn chair or pick one up at the dollar store on the way there. Or you know what? If you don't bring one, maybe we can, we'll have one for you. No, on the first one, it'll be free. After that, maybe somebody might be, you know, leasing the chair for the day or whatever. But
and what's your brother Al getting?
What's that?
What's your brain for the alligators?
There are no alligators in this part of Florida.
Good. Okay. So all that's all.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. But now, let me tell you this, though. There are other animals out there. They have owls out there. I don't want to freak people out, but snakes, although I haven't run across one yet. But right where I'm at right now, here's the thing about nature. Nature knows where we are, although we might not know where nature is. And typically, nature will stay away from us. There are deers out there. There's turkeys out there. So it's safe. And some people, it might be the first time they saw a wild turkey or a deer. You know, but typically nature will leave, they will leave you alone. So, but it's safe. So, You won't run into any bears in this part of Florida. And there's the Florida Panther, but Florida Panthers are at the extreme south part of Florida. This is the northern part, so you won't run into any of that. So it'll be a perfectly safe environment. So I would say just, like I say, bring a lawn chair or two. Bring some snacks with you. And if you want to go fishing for catfish, we got a pond there that you can go fishing, catch the fish, clean the fish, fry it up, along with whatever else you got. And, of course, we'll be doing some building there. And then once you finish that physicality of it, then ideas, and this is what we're going to have this blast for 2024, what are the relevant tailgate events that we can have at that location? And what are some events or activities that we can do there year-round? Those ideas, well, Delma, you put it up and you broke down 2 Kings 4:1-7. Okay. So we got instructions. Okay, we're gonna have a tailgate event on 4th of November. I consider that a direct divine instruction. All right. Then this morning, okay, tailgating and fish fry. So those are three things that we're supposed to do along with building. So after we complete those events on the 4th, I know that whatever else we're supposed to do, we'll get that after we show up, and then even after that event is over with, because ideas are going to be generated on that day. All right?
Right. That's right.
We'll work with the instruction that we're supposed to do or prepare for the 4th, and then we'll get some ideas on the 4th, but I'm pretty sure on the way back home on the 4th, the next day on the 5th, which is a Sunday, on that Monday, there'll be other ideas that will come. But they're only going to come for those who show up on the 4th. But we got our instructions for the 4th. We got those instructions. So I feel pretty confident because Delmar, if you want to break that down for us, please do, because you're better at that than I am. 2 Kings 1-4, then.
Well,
how she, you know, certain things didn't happen until she completed certain tasks.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you clear.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we can hear you clear, Delmar.
She made her need known, and after she told him what she had, he told her what to do with it. But he only told her part of the project. He told her, go get the jars and fill the jar with the oil. And only after she completed all that, she came back and told him she had done that. That's when he told her, go sell it and take the money and pay her bill and let her rest. So blessing comes in parts. But you got to obey the part that you understand. Don't worry about, as you said, what's going to happen after the 4th. That won't happen until you do what you're going to do on the 4th. So do that part.
Right. So we got our clear instructions. The date, November 4th, that came through Willie. So that's the date. Now, mind you, when Willie first gave that date, I wasn't even thinking about 20 acres. Wasn't even thinking about it. Let alone 20 acres with a pond on it. Okay. And I wasn't thinking about fish fries. I wasn't thinking about tailgates or nothing like that. But as we, because we've been having, meetings for other things to prepare for that. So then that's when, you know, it came up. Well, you know what, Delma, I don't even know how tailgate came into the conversation, but it came up.
We were talking about getting a table, and I knew that Chuck tailgate to let down and thought about that. That's how I got in there.
Right, because I was talking about, you know, what can we talk about on the podcast more? So I was saying, well, okay, you know, 20 acres is a lot for a person to digest. Even an acre is a lot for a person to digest. So I said, well, maybe, you know, we can do the podcast on what does a quarter acre of land look like, all right? Because you got four quarters and a whole acre. So it started from there. Then you brought up tailgate, and then you brought up fish fry, because even I gotta get my directions straight like that. So and Delmore put it out there clearly. So it's okay. Number one, we got the date already. Number two, and that was one instruction. We got that one instruction coming through Willie when we were looking for a place in Jacksonville. Now, the place that we were originally going to have really wasn't in Jacksonville. It was like 30 or 40 miles outside of that. Then we found out we got to contact, you know, this particular thing, and we got to check with the county. Then we switched, well, hold it, let's have it at the 4 acres that we already got. Now, this is all before, you know, I became aware of the 20 acres. I wasn't looking for 20 acres, people. I got a phone call. That's how that happened. That's a whole different story. So, and the 20 acres has, a pond on it stocked with catfish. So, like I say, I'm just looking at the instructions now. All right, definitely November 4th, that's a definite date that we're going to get our next set of instructions on that date. We might get some instructions before then. But we're going to get more definitely on that date. And we're definitely supposed to tailgate. All right, that's our infrastructure for that date. We got a county road that leads to the property. But, you know, with tailgating, we all know what that is. And we're going to have to bring lawn chairs as part of the instruction. You know, for those who want to fit, we're supposed to gather around that pond to break bread and eat and build. And for those that want to fish, so we got our clear instructions on what we're supposed to do on November the 4th of this year. It's coming up in a couple of weeks, thereabouts. So, and like I say, based on that, our next set of instructions Exodus is sort of like coming out of the book of Exodus. Where was it where Delmar, where Moses sent spies into the promised land to check out the so-called promised land?
That was indeed about, I think, the story about a month after they left Egypt. He sent the 12 spies, and 10 of them said they couldn't do it, and 2 of them said they could. And of course, the 10 died and needed the line, but didn't have faith. Only Joshua and Caleb were the 2 that actually lived through the whole 40 years to enter the promised land of that group.
I believe this is what this is. Because, see, where this 20 acres is, when I bought my first 4 acres, I originally looked. I didn't look at this particular plot, but that's where I was looking at 10 acres at. So I've been aware of that area. And like I said, my 4 acres is 16 miles or a 15, 20-minute drive away from this place. So I've been aware of the place for, at least 8 years. Okay. We've been doing this show 10 years, almost 10 years. And then I got the land at least 8 years ago. So anyway, and the number to call for people who want to make a reservation for that tailgate event is, I believe, 813-646-9808. I think that's the right number. Okay. And I'll have to put it in the, I'll update this, the program notes on here and put the number on here for people that want to attend that. The 4th of November. Now, if you missed that date, that's okay, because we shall be planning other events for 2024. And then who knows? We have, because on November, Turkey Day, that's a tailgate. They got all kind of bowl games on. So, hey, look, I'm all up for help. I really, haven't gotten to the bowl games in years, but if you guys want to have a Thanksgiving tailgate event on Thanksgiving Day at this location, I'm all up for it. I'm just saying, I'm available. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, I'm going to leave it up. I'm going to see what people say, on the 4th, even before then, because we do have Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas coming up, and New Year's Eve coming up, and New Year's Day. Those are 4 days, all right? Or at the very least, have a holiday tailgate. Save the sacred days for family, but then have a at least one holiday tailgate somewhere in between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day. And then, now what I used to do, I used to have, I did it about 2-3 years in a row. I used to start my day off in Eatonville, Florida. First day in Eatonville, Florida, because Eatonville, Florida is a historic black township built by former slaves. It's only 6 miles outside of Orlando, Florida. So on January the 1st, this will be a good day to meet at this particular location. So, once again, I'm just thinking them out loud. Anyway, Delmar, anything you want to add before we knock off for today?
Well, more specifically,
or anybody out there in the audience?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can hear you, Delmar.
Yeah, for timeline, it was a 40-year difference between the time the spies went out and they actually possessed the land. So, again, things come at a different time span sometimes than what we expect. But it did happen.
Right, it did happen. It did happen. Well, like I say, this, we're not looking at 40 years, but... and, of course, I cannot direct God's timing. But all I'm knowing is, like I said, Willie set out the date. And then who knew when he set that date of November the 4th that, matter of fact, Willie, press 1 if you're listening. I have an idea why he probably picked the 4th. But at the time he picked the day of the 4th, no, we weren't having 20-acre discussions. We weren't having, what does a quarter-acre land looks like. We weren't talking about tailgating. We weren't talking about fish fries. There was none of that. Willie, your mic is open. Yeah, now, Willie, what was on your mind when you – why did you pick the 4th, the select the 4th?
You kind of led me in that direction because – wanted to get away from, I know that, like you're saying, closer to Thanksgiving, then everybody's in holiday mode, and you won't be doing
right.
much at all. And so I was looking at kind of my wife's schedule as far as school get letting out and all that stuff. So, because I know the next week, some schools get out a week before Thanksgiving. Some schools get out earlier. Thanksgiving week is always the week and the week before. People are geared up to go out of town or, you know, do something. So
That's true. And then there's a lot of heavy holiday travel. The closer you get to Thanksgiving Day, the highways, airports, all that, train stations, bus stations, there's super heavy holiday travel. So, okay, that makes sense. Well, at the time you selected that, like I said, the 20 acres wasn't on my radar, at least, let alone 20 acres with a pond on it, let alone tailgating. But all this is sort of lining up organically, as a lot of people say. So, but I feel good about it. The more I think about it, because it's falling into play. So, now Willie, you're driving. What are you driving? Truck, car, van, what?
SUV.
SUV, all right, those are popular these days. Okay, Cynthia coming along?
No.
This is coming. Okay. Well, so people out there, drive what you're driving, and I imagine it's going to be an intimate group anyway. So who knows? We got at least a couple of weeks or so until the event. But I know it'll be I feel real good about it. On that note, we're going to knock off a little early for today. Everyone have a good rest of the day.